Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Time for another Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, because in this episode of the Football's History Headlines, we discuss Jim Brown's rookie record and the 10 Grey Cup games that were played, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories that took place on the date of November 24th in football history. Coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome to another edition of the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch. We're going to take a look back at the history of November 24th, all the events that happened on that great day in gridiron history. And we hope you enjoy this one, because it's a classic. So let's get right at it, because this is going to be really an insightful podcast we have for you. So we'll start off November 24th, 1934 at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, New York. 81,000 fans packed the house that Ruth built to watch the heavily favored Army team take on Notre Dame. It was such an attraction that the fans were sitting in the aisles on all three decks of the stadium. It was a tight defensive battle for much of the game. Then, with little time remaining, the Irish head coach Elmer Layden, who had been one of the four horsemen during his playing days, sent in fullback Don Hanley. Hanley was the last player on the Irish roster that had played under the legendary coach Newt Rockne, who had died in a tragic plane crash in March of 1931 while en route to be in the film The Spirit of Notre Dame. Hanley took the handoff for the final seconds and plunged over the goal line to give Notre Dame the 12-6 upset victory. The press ate up the story of Hanley being one of Newt Rockne's players, and with Layden also being a former star for Rockne, the symbolic torch of coaching winning at Notre Dame's tradition had been passed. As we said earlier, we have a bunch of Grey Cup games that were played on November 24th, and we're going to try to cover all 10 of them. And we'll start with November 24th, 1934, at Toronto's Varsity Stadium. The 22nd CFL Grey Cup was played as the Sarnia Imperials faced the Regina Rough Riders. Regina had played in 7 Grey Cup finals in the past 12 seasons, and going into the game, according to the CFL.ca site. The Imperials went on to win their first championship with a 20-12 win over Regina Rough Riders, completing an undefeated season. Then we go to November 24th, 1951 at Varsity Stadium in Toronto again. The 39th Grey Cup final for the CFL championship was played, and in a tight game between the Ottawa Rough Riders, they came out victorious, claiming their fourth championship with a 21-14 win over the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The Rough Riders scratched and clawed their way into the game as they finished it with a record of 8-6, but not to be confused with the champion Ottawa Rough Riders. That must have been a tough one to listen to on a radio broadcast when the Rough Riders played the two-word Rough Riders. Another CFL Grey Cup game happened on November 24th, 1956, also at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, and according to the CFL.ca's website, it was the third consecutive year that the Edmonton Eskimos faced the Montreal Alouettes in the Grey Cup final. The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Well, in this case, it was true, as Edmonton Eskimos defeated those Montreal Alouettes for the third straight year, but this time it was 50-27 in the final. Now for some NFL football history. We'll go to November 24th, 1957. Cleveland Browns running back Jim Brown rushed for 237 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Los Angeles Rams. It was Brown's rookie season, and according to FS64Sports.com, Brown wasn't even the target for the Browns in the 1957 draft. Len Dawson was. The Pittsburgh Steelers drafted quarterback Dawson before the Browns got a chance to, so they went with their next choice, Jim Brown of Syracuse. Boy, did that ever work out for Cleveland. November 24th, 1964, in New York City, the 30th annual Heisman Trophy Award winner was announced as John Hort, the quarterback from Notre Dame, was the winner. Per the American Football Database, the Irish lost only once that season, as Hort threw for 2,062 yards with only 205 passes for a 10-plus yard average. In 1965's Chicago All-Star College game, where Hort led the squad against the defending NFL champion Cleveland Browns, John Hort was the MVP of the game. November 24, 1974, at Empire Stadium in Vancouver, the CFL's Grey Cup was played for the 62nd time, and it pitted the Montreal Alouettes against those Edmonton Eskimos once again. The Montreal got the better of the Eskimos on this slick wet field by a score of 20-7 per the OnThisDay.com website. Then, November 24, 1979, in Tokyo, Japan, Notre Dame defeats Miami 40-15 in the Mirage Bowl for the IrishLegends.com website. Fandom.com explains that the Mirage Bowl was an annual football game hosted in Tokyo, Japan from 1977 through 1993, and the game was renamed the Coca-Cola Bowl or the Coca-Cola Classic in 1986 and kept this name until the event was discontinued after the 93 season. Unlike most other college football games, the Mirage Bowl was the site of a regular season matchup, usually between two teams from the same conference. November 24, 1985, at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, Quebec, the 73rd annual CFL Grey Cup had the BC Lions defeating the Hamilton Tiger Cats 37-24. OnThisDay.com informs us that this was the final CFL game played with a 25-yard-long end zone. November 24, 1991, at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. After starting off the season with a perfect 12-0 record, the Washington Redskins lost to the Dallas Cowboys by the score of 24-21 per the Washington Post story. The Cowboys lost their starting quarterback Troy Aikman in the third quarter, but still controlled the clock for nearly 39 minutes, and the Dallas D held the Washington rushing offense to a mere 50 yards to help Dallas Cowboys beat their arch rivals. That same day, November 24, 1991, at Winnipeg Stadium, the CFL's 79th edition of the Grey Cup had the Toronto Argonauts defeating the Calgary Stampeders 36-21. Weather played a major factor in the game, as the temps got to minus 16 degrees Celsius at kickoff, making it the coldest Grey Cup game ever. Rocket Ishmael, formerly of Notre Dame, an all-time CFL great, was the game's MVP, while Calgary's David Sparges was the most valuable Canadian. The Boatmen celebrated the championship under the new ownership of LA Kings owner Bruce McNall, hockey player Wayne Gretzky, and actor John Candy, per the On This Day website. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team, and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
November 24th, 1996, at Ivor Wynne Stadium in Hamilton. That was the 84th at CFL Grey Cup was played per the Toronto.com internet site. The Toronto Argonauts won their CFL 13th title as they beat the Edmonton Eskimos 43-37. Quarterback Doug Flutie of the Argos was the game's MVP. And this edition of the Grey Cup is sometimes called the Snowball because of near blizzard-like weather conditions that happened during it. Then, November 24, 2002, Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, the 90th edition of the CFL Grey Cup, had once again pitted the Montreal Alouettes as they defeated the Edmonton Eskimos 25-16. It marked the fifth time that a Don Matthews-coached team won the Grey Cup title. Now let's talk about a couple of the Iron Bowl classics that were played on November 24th. The first one took place on 2007 at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. It was the 72nd volume of the annual Iron Bowl, and it was just as much a matching of coaching strategy as it was of raw talent on the field. Alabama had recently hired Nick Saban to combat the success that Auburn was having under the direction of Tommy Tuberville, according to ESPN.com's story on the game. The Tigers scored a touchdown with Brandon Cox running a sneak in from 1 yard out to hang on for the 17-10 SEC victory over their rival, the Crimson Tide of Alabama. The next edition of the Iron Bowl we'll talk about took place on November 24, 2012 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The 77th Iron Bowl was one of the cited affair as the Crimson Tide dominated every aspect of the game per the piece on SBNation.com. Alabama blanked their arch nemesis Auburn in a statement game with a 49-0 win, serving notice to the nation who the top team was. The Tide went 13-1 that season and outmatched Notre Dame in the bowl championship game to win the national title. November 24, 2013 at Taylor Field in Regina. At the 101st Grey Cup game for the CFL championship, it was the Saskatchewan Roughriders winning their fourth title as they defeated the Hamilton Tiger Cats 45-23. The most valuable player of the game was Roughriders back Corey Sheets, who set a Grey Cup record by rushing for 197 yards and two touchdowns, thanks to the OnThisDay.com post. We have a quick headline from November 24, 2018. Alabama won the Iron Bowl in a win over Auburn by a score of 52-21 in that season. Then November 24, 2019, at McMahon Stadium in Calgary, Alberta, the 107th Grey Cup game was played as the Hamilton Tiger Cats tangled with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Bombers were the better team that day as they dominated the score 33-12 over the T-Cats per the CFL.ca story. Winnipeg's Andrew Harris was honored with earning both the MVP and the Most Valuable Canadian awards for, unbelievably, the very first time in Grey Cup history.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
It's time to talk about all those Hall of Fame birthdays that we have for this November 24th, and we'll start off on November 24th, 1912, in Hartford, Alabama. Miller Dixie Howell, the halfback from the University of Alabama, was born. Back in the early 1930s, it was normal for one of the halfbacks to throw the ball. This was a case for Dixie, who connected on many passes with the Tide's great receiver Don Hudson to win games including the 1935 Rose Bowl against Stanford. His other favorite target was a guy by the name of Bear Bryant. Talk about some legendary names on that roster. The National Football Foundation voted Dixie Howell into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1970. And after school was over, Howell played 1 year with the Washington Redskins in 1937. And he also coached at Arizona State from 37 through 41 with a 20-win, 9-loss, and 4 record, and also at Idaho from 1947 through 1950. November 24th, 1924, in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, the U.S. Naval Academy's end, Dick Duden, came into this world. After the tremendous 1945 season, he was named All-American by the Associated Press, United Press International, Grantland Rice, Sporting News, Central Press, and Football Writers of America, among others. The NFF chose to induct Dick Duden into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2001. After some further naval service work, Dick played 1 year with the New York Football Giants and returned to the Naval Academy as an assistant coach. And in 1973, he was named to the all-time Army-Navy football team by sports writers. It just so happens that we had another Hall of Famer on that team with Navy of Dick Duden's, and his teammate was Dick Scott. He was born November 24, 1924, and also played for the U.S. Naval Academy as a center. Dick was named to the All-American teams in 1945 and 1947, and in 1948, he was a runner-up of the MVP in the College All-Star Game played in Chicago. The committee voted Dick Scott into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1987. November 29, 1929, John Henry Johnson, the great fullback who attended St. Mary's University and was the second pick in a 1953 NFL draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Johnson rushed for over 1,000 yards in both the 1962 and the 1964 seasons and was the first Steeler ever to accomplish the feat. After his contract ended in Pittsburgh, he played in the CFL for a season and then returned to the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers and later the Detroit Lions, then played a 13th and final season with the AFL's Houston Oilers. After the dust had settled on his brilliant career, Johnson accounted for 6,803 career rushing yards and ranked him fourth on the all-time rushing list. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined John Henry Johnson into the class of 1987. November 24, 1930, Yale Larry, the safety from Texas A&M, was born. Yale was a fixture for 11 seasons at safety for the Detroit Lions. Larry was a contributing force for three NFL championships that the Lions franchise enjoyed during the span of his career. Besides his 50 career interceptions at safety, Yale Larry was also a great punter for the Detroit squad, as he won the NFL punting crown in three different seasons and just missed on a fourth title in an additional season. His 44.3-yard average on over 500 punts makes him one of the best punters in pro football history. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined the great Yale Larry in the year 1979. November 24, 1931, in Altoona, Pennsylvania, Maryland Terrapin tackle Stan Jones was born. Jones played offensive and defensive tackle for Maryland and was a unanimous All-American selection after the 1953 season. That same 1953 season, Jones and his Terp teammates enjoyed the limelight of being crowned the national champions. Stan Jones was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2000, and after graduation, Stan made it into the NFL, and his career covered 13 seasons with the Chicago Bears and the Washington Redskins. He served as assistant coach with Denver and Buffalo from 1967 through the 1977 seasons. Stan Jones was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 1991. November 24, 1935, in Ruston, Louisiana, Purvis Atkins, the fine halfback from New Mexico State University, celebrated his birth. Atkins twice topped the nation in all-purpose yards in 1959 and 1960 and holds the New Mexico State single-season record of 1,800 all-purpose yards in 1960. During the 1959 campaign, he led the nation rushing with 971 yards and his punt return yardage of 241. The NFF selected Purvis Atkins to join the ranks of the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2009. Purvis Atkins was drafted in the third round of the 1960 NFL draft by the LA Rams. He played seven seasons in the NFL, including stints with the Washington Redskins and Oakland Raiders. He finished his career with 3,300 all-purpose yards and three touchdowns, per the footballfoundation.org website. November 24, 1940, that was the day of birth of Paul Tagliabue. Paul Tagliabue was the former NFL executive who was a great leader at a time when the NFL needed it. He served as the NFL commissioner for 17 seasons, and in that span, the NFL prospered and grew. His accomplishments included expanding the league to 32 teams. There was nearly two decades of peace with the NFLPA, and 20 new NFL stadiums were constructed, as well as the fact that he took the NFL overseas into foreign markets. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selected Paul Tagliabue to have his bust made in Canton in the year 2020. November 24, 1959, in Bitburg, West Germany, Terry Kinnard, the great DB from Clemson University, was born. When you talk about defensive backs coming out of college with great stats, Terry Kinnard must be in the conversation, as Kinnard registered 17 interceptions, 30 pass deflections, and 292 tackles during his Clemson career. Two of the picks were extremely important to the 1979 16-10 victory over Notre Dame. It was his exploits like this that led Terry to All-American honors as well as many other collegiate awards. The National Football Foundation voted Terry Kinnard into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2001. Terry enjoyed a nice 8-year career in the NFL, playing for the New York Giants and the Houston Oilers after his schooling was over. We told you at the beginning that November 24th was packed with football history, as we covered over 10 CFL Grey Cup games and a record amount of birthdays of Hall of Famers, and I can't think of another day where there was more. And tomorrow is even bigger and better as we go through some football history headlines for November 25th, including Lamar Jackson entering the record books for first ever NFL accomplishment, Madden and Summer all team up in the booth, and Miami ends Notre Dame's longest ever winning streak, as well as many more Hall of Fame birthdays coming up. So make sure you subscribe or tune into PigskinDispatch.com, TheSportsHistoryNetwork.com to ensure that you catch all of your daily football history headlines. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.